Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Raikwar et al. Titled Renal Denervation and CD161A Immune Ablation Prevent Cholinergic Hypertension and Renal Sodium Retention. This article was published June 7, 2019. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, first author Salish Harwani, and content expert Liang Xiao. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. And then thank you, Sal and Liang, for participating in today's podcast of this very interesting paper. As it's well known now and generally accepted that the immune system activation contributes to the pathogenesis of hypertension, the interaction between immune cell activation and sympathoexcitation is, however, quite complex. Many questions remain, including which entity is the primary initiator of the hypertensive process, and how are the sympathetic activation and the immune activation tied together, as well as a variety of other important processes and pathways. The kidney, however, plays a pivotal role in the hypertensive process. This has been known for many years. Thus, it's important to understand the role of the kidney in this pathway. Thus, brings us to the discussion of this paper. Sal, as the lead author of this work, can you tell our listeners what the rationale was for the paper, for the study, and a bit about the experimental designs and what you found?
I'd be happy to, Herb. I think it's important to note what you said about the kidney playing a central role in the process of hypertension, and we kind of used that to our advantage in the study. The model that we used was a spontaneous hypertensive rat, and what our design was and our rationale was basically to investigate the interaction between the nervous system, the renal system, and the immune system. The spontaneous development of the hypertension in the SHR contains all three of these components. So the way we did this was we took the SHRs, and it's very important to note that we focused on the pre-hypertensive animals because we wanted to identify the causality of these components. So starting with the pre-hypertensive animals, we had one of two interventions. The first intervention was complete renal denervation bilateral. The second intervention, which was later to demonstrate causality of the immune system, was an ablation of the CD161 positive immune cells specifically. In both of those arms, we gave two treatments. The first treatment was saline infusion over 2 weeks using osmotic pumps. And the second intervention was nicotine as the experimental arm. What we found was that when you give nicotine in the presence of renal denervation, you prevent what we have referred to as cholinergic hypertension. Now, that term comes from a previous publication that we've put out a couple of years ago, where we demonstrated, along with other labs, that nicotine selectively induces hypertension in the prehypertensive SHR. Looking at the fact that renal denervation prevented this, we found this quite interesting. And so we then went on to look at several other endpoints. The other endpoints, other than the blood pressure, were renal inflammation, and there we looked at the infiltration of the immune cells into their renal parenchyma. We looked at renal inflammatory cytokines, as well as toxicity markers, and then we looked at several other inflammatory markers, such as adhesion cell markers that may enhance inflammation. Finally, because of the importance of the renal component, we looked at renal sodium handling, because that's also been reported as a very important component to the SHR, and specifically with regards to NKCC2. I'm going to briefly tell you about the CD161 ablation and simply tell you that the two arms were the saline nicotine, and then the treatments were the control antibody and the anti-CD161 antibody for ablation. And then we looked at the same endpoints. Essentially, what we found, to summarize the results, what we found was that the blood pressure in both, as I mentioned earlier, in renal denervation and the CD161 immune cell ablation were prevented in response to nicotine. Secondarily, we also found that renal inflammation, as measured by cytokines, was also prevented or decreased in both treatment groups. Thirdly, what we found was that when you give nicotine, there was an enhanced renal sodium retention. What we found after the renal denervation, however, and CD161 immune ablation was that the renal sodium handling was altered to lead to increased renal sodium excretion as opposed to retention. And what this demonstrates to us is that the CD161 immune cells sit at a very important vertex between the kidneys and the nervous system. And More specifically, you'll note that I mentioned nicotine and the renal nerves. So not only do the immune cells sit at the vertex of these two important groups, but specifically they're being influenced by both the adrenergic as well as the cholinergic nervous systems. And so that's essentially the results that we found, putting the CD161 positive immune cells, and specifically by immune cells, I want to be very clear, we're referring to macrophages here, based on the CD68 expressivity of these cells. And so that's the key finding here in this study.
Thank you, Sal. Liang, I wonder if you could comment about these findings. Your laboratory and David Harrison's laboratory have really started this whole field of immune modulation in hypertension, especially at the kidney level. Can you comment on how the findings of this study relate to the role of these specific macrophages studied and the potential for modulating the hypertension process by blockade or inhibition of particular types of macrophages?
Sure, Irv. It has been known for decades that the central nervous system, the blood vessels, and kidney all play important roles in the development of hypertension. However, it has not been known until recent 10 to 15 years that immune cells serve as a link among these systems and also are crucial in the development of high blood pressure. The current study elegantly demonstrate a pathway that CD161A positive macrophage as an important mediator between the renal sympathetic nerve and the renal inflammation in a pathological condition. Recently, there are several clinical trials studying the inflammation in cardiovascular disease. For example, the CANTOS trial studying the IL-1 beta, showing that selective inhibition of this pathway is likely to play a crucial role in arterial protection. However, another trial, CIRT SIRT trial using methotrexate, does not have a beneficial effect. So this is likely to show that inhibition of selective immune pathway, but not a broad spectrum anti-inflammation, is likely to have a protective effect in cardiovascular disease, such as hypertension too.
Thank you, Liang. So I had a couple burning questions about the implications of the study on maybe a more integrative level. And then I think, Liang, you can comment more specifically about the individual macrophage study. But Sal, how do you think in an intact preparation that there would be cholinergic activation of the macrophages? Certainly, nicotinic receptors would be there, but normally they're activated by acetylcholine. We know acetylcholine is not circulated. So do you think there's a neural cholinergic component here?
That's an excellent question, Irv. So I think it's important for us to, before we even delve into that question, dissect out one important premise. And that is that we have a neural and a non-neuronal component to these receptors. And as an example, I'll give you the neural immune synapse. So, for example, it's possible that a cholinergic nerve, such as the vagal or its branches, comes off and makes a synapse with an immune cell. That would be one component. The other component would be, and the other alternative, perhaps not necessarily exclusive, is that the immune cells themselves may be the input, i.e. the producers of acetylcholine, as opposed to the neural terminals themselves. So that's where we have to make a distinction. Our sentinel work, when I was a cardiology fellow back here at the UI, revealed that the nicotinic effects appeared to be non-neuronal. And I say that because we were giving nicotine in a ex vivo splenocyte preparation. So that suggested to us that this was a non-neuronal system. And so it's very possible that you have an immune cell that may be influenced by either other immune cells or cytokines, as well as other neural inputs, and that produces acetylcholine. And that release of acetylcholine acts in a paracrine fashion, possibly autocrine, but definitely paracrine fashion, on neighboring immune cells to instigate the inflammation. And that's a component of work that our lab is very enthusiastically pursuing currently.
Great response. Liang, any comments?
I would also mention that it is also possible that nicotine can also activate the central nervous system, that the postganglionic sympathetic nerve that causes increased renal sympathetic nerve activity. So it may also contribute to hypertension in this model.
I agree. There's certainly a lot of interest these days in vagal activation and suppression of immune responses. So I guess it's also possible for there to be some acetylcholine or cholinergic activation of cells by that pathway. One of the things that people have been looking at is the role of renal denervation, of course, in hypertension per se. And I know there are several labs that have looked at different models of hypertension. John Osborne's lab, for instance, sees an attenuation of the hypertensive process in the DOCA salt model, but not in the SHR. Sal, any comments on the model?
So as far as the SHR as a model, I've been very focused on the SHR model for the reason that I believe that it's a very good model for human essential hypertension. And a brief statement about why that is because it is so multifaceted. I don't know that in humans we have a very clear etiology, i.e. humans are a, quote, dirty animal model, if you will, with a multi-genetic component. And I think the SHR embodies that. And I think dissecting that out component by component for us has been very exciting. So I think it's an excellent model. That doesn't take away from other models, for example, with John Osborne's work, which has been amazing. So John Osborne's group has shown investigations looking into the renal afferent as well as the renal efferent nerves. And I think they've very elegantly and excellently shown that the renal afferent nerves appear to play an important role in the DOCA salt model, both early in the development phase as well as the maintenance phase in terms of hypertension. But what they've also shown is that once the inflammation has set in their kidneys, the renal afferent nerves don't appear to be able to attenuate that component. So I think they've separated out the hypertension and the onset and the maintenance of inflammation, and I think that's important. And I think a pharmacologic model like that definitely leads insight into how to proceed. So I think that's very important. I would also note very quickly that there's been a good amount of literature that's shown in the SHR back in the 90s that the renal afferent nerves don't appear to play a role in the development or maintenance of hypertension.
Great. I think that's very important. Liang, any final comments?
I think this CD161 is an important mediator here. And I also want to comment on the renal denervation that John Osborne showed that in different hypertensive models have different response to afferent renal nerve denervation. So in SHR, it does not play a role, but it plays a role in many salt-sensitive hypertensive models. And it will be interesting to study the CD161 positive macrophage, especially in the renal medulla. That may or may not contribute to afferent renal denervation in hypertension.
I would just add one last piece, and that is I think an important takeoff from this as we move forward would be to specifically start looking at knockouts in the immune system of the rats in terms of the CD161 marker, and that's an area that we're pursuing. And so I think selectively investigating and interrogating the immune system will be really important in future studies.
This has been a really interesting discussion. I think this is a very interesting paper and gives us some insight into a pathway that maybe people haven't thought about before in specific macrophage subtypes. So I want to thank you both for contributing to this podcast, and we're now going to turn it back to Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.